Thank you, Jeff. And good morning, Emmanuel, and welcome to our service this morning. If we have any visitors worshipping with us, do please make yourselves known to us. You're very welcome. And greetings also to those of you who will be joining us on the recording on the website later. We do hope you feel a part of our service today. As a church, we meet with Highworth URC and as a part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. Our worship this morning is led by Carol Simmons, who is a familiar face to many of us. Welcome, Carol. Our reader is Wally Knight, and also there is tea and coffee in the hall after the service. Please join us if you are able to. We will now have a few moments of quiet while I light the Christ candle and the peace candle and we prepare to worship God.
Thank you, choir. Good morning, Emmanuel. Happy Christmas. It's lovely to be with you this morning. I looked down as I came into church and I saw so many faces I know. It's like coming home. Thank you so much for your warm welcome. The welcome was so warm this morning, I didn't even have very much time to get nervous. So. Just to let you know that today we're going to be thinking about the Holy Family as our theme. So if we just still our minds for a moment and prepare to come into God's presence. Come, people of God, from many homes and many stories, come to meet the God who walks with wanderers. God travelled with the Holy Family and travels with us still. Let us lift our hearts to adore him as we sing our first hymn, number 160, O Come, All Ye Faithful. We will sing the final verse because we believe that God is born in our hearts, not just on Christmas Day, but every day.
Thank you.
Over the Holy Family as they sought safety, and you watch over us today. As we worship, open our hearts to your word, open our eyes to those who are vulnerable, and open our lives to your leading. Make us ready to listen, to trust, and to follow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God of love and mercy, we come before you knowing that we are in need of forgiveness. We have sinned against you in our speaking and in our silence. in our thinking and in our thoughtlessness, in our actions and in our inaction. We have sinned against you in not loving you with our whole heart and soul and strength, in not loving our sisters and brothers in Christ. Grant us, O Lord, your forgiveness. Restore us in the image of your Son, and lead us along the way to your kingdom, to the glory of your name. Amen. We say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our second hymn, Unto Us Is Born a Son, number 169. As Wally reads to us from St. Matthew's Gospel.
The reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 3 to 15, and then verses 19 to 23. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, Bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ is born and now lies sleeping. Come, let us bring our song to him. The choir's anthem this morning is "Torches" by John Joubert, and they've kindly invited me to go and join them, so bear with me while I hop over there. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Quick question to think about this morning, and I am asking myself this as much as I'm asking you. How good am I at obeying God when I don't have a clue what he's doing in my life? Don't know about you, but if I'm honest, the answer is probably not as good as I should be. Our scripture reading today follows the Holy Family, not in peaceful nativity scenes, not with angels singing or shepherds kneeling, but in the harsh movement of flight, danger, and uncertainty. Matthew tells us the very first steps of Emmanuel, God with us, were hurried steps, refugee steps, nighttime steps across borders. So we begin with a story not of a settled home, but of a God who chooses to be found on the move in unexpected places. And I'd like us to think about this from Joseph's perspective. He's often called the silent saint. We don't hear him speak anywhere in the Gospels. Yet his example of obedience to God's will, of trusting despite not knowing how it's all going to turn out, never fails to astound me. The church makes a lot of Mary's yes to the message brought to her by the angel Gabriel, and rightly so, because God's plan to redeem his people depended on her consent. But Joseph's continuing obedience, his repeated silent yes, is also crucial. He has been chosen by God to be the protector of the infant Saviour, to bring the child up as his own son and keep him safe until the time for his earthly ministry is to begin. And we see this in evidence from the moment we meet him in the Christmas narratives. Joseph was faced with choices from day one. Mary tells him she's pregnant. They're betrothed, but that's only the first stage of marriage under Jewish law. And this is the period when Joseph would normally be preparing a home for them before taking Mary as his wife. So Joseph knows for sure the child can't be his. Under the law, he has the right to divorce Mary for being unfaithful, and she could be stoned to death. Joseph is a good man and doesn't want to expose Mary to public disgrace, so he plans to quietly break up with her. But then an angel tells him in a dream, Mary's telling the truth. The child was conceived by the Holy Spirit and will be the saviour of all people. The angel tells Joseph to go ahead and take Mary as his wife. Joseph knows that to do this will alienate him from his community. The people will assume he's made Mary pregnant before they're fully married. But he obeys God, takes Mary as his wife, and commits to bringing up the child as his own son. He understands the high calling Mary has from God and chooses to support her, whatever it costs him. In this morning's reading, Joseph is faced with another choice. Another dream, another angel, this time telling him his little family is in danger. Herod sees the child as a threat to his authority and wants him dead. So the angel tells him to get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Interesting that God doesn't want to keep the Holy Family in Jerusalem, which is the religious centre, nor even in Rome, the seat of power. He protects them by sending them to the margins, to a foreign land, to a place where their language and customs would have been strange. Joseph must have been terrified. I wonder if in that moment of waking in the night, he remembers the accounts in scripture of his ancestors fleeing under cover of darkness to Egypt to escape from the famine. and ending up staying there for 40 years before God brought them out. Does he remember Hosea's words, quoted by Matthew, "Out of Egypt, I've called my son"? My guess is probably not. But Joseph realizes that to stay is more dangerous for his family than anything they may face in Egypt. So Jesus starts his earthly life as a refugee, displaced from home because he's being hunted down by authority, clinging to his young mother as they cross the border in fear. Not much has changed, really. We see that every day on the news, don't we? And it's hardly the stuff of Christmas sparkle and glitter, is it? But the real Christmas story is not sweet and comfortable, any more than Easter is all chocolate eggs and chicks. When the Word became flesh, that flesh was vulnerable, and Joseph's role was to protect him. Joseph is a man who listens. When the angel speaks, he acts immediately, quietly, and faithfully. Sometimes holiness does look like a dramatic miracle. Think Paul on the Damascus Road. But sometimes holiness looks like getting up in the middle of the night, packing what little you have, and following God into the unknown. Joseph is a saint of the small faithful acts, the guardian of ordinary obedience to God's will. At the end of our passage, the family returns from Egypt, again as a result of Joseph's trust in an angel's message. But again, it's not simple. Judea is still dangerous, so they go to Galilee. They settle in Nazareth, a town so unremarkable that people later say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Jesus grows up, not in palaces fit for the king he is, but in an insignificant village off the main road in Galilee. It's as if God is saying, home is not where power gathers, but where faith grows. So what does all this mean for us? There's a saying frequently attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, which goes, "Preach, and if necessary, use words." Joseph didn't say anything. He just got on with trusting God and following his instructions. And we would do well to follow that example. Joseph shows us that our faith is not about clinging to comfort, but about following God even when he leads us away from safe ground. He shows us that holiness can be found in our ordinary day-to-day lives, in quiet obedience to God wherever we are. And he shows us that although God may meet us in church or other sacred spaces where we expect to find him, he also shows up where we least expect him, in the strange places we never chose to be in. In my case, in ministry. The Holy Family walked the road to Egypt, not knowing what they would find. Jesus, God with us, walks alongside us in the scariness of uncertainty and insecurity in our lives. He reveals himself in the faces of those he calls us to serve and protect. The least, the lost, the lonely, those who may be far from home or far from him. This little family doesn't show us a life of comfort. They show us a life of courage. And they invite us into a discipleship that moves, changes, takes risks, and above all, listens. A discipleship that can respond to God's call. Get up, take what you have, follow me. So friends, will we obey that call, even if it costs us our reputation? Will we trust, even when we don't understand? Will we let Christ be born into our chaos, not just our comfort. As we prepare to step into the unknown territory of a new year, may we have the courage to obey that call with the same silent trust as Joseph. Emmanuel, you have it in your name. God is with us. To him be the glory. Amen. So we sing hymn 149, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. After which Mario will sing that lovely setting of O Holy Night, accompanied at the piano by Shelley. And this will lead us very appropriately into our prayers of intercession, which will be led today by John Blakesley. Humble Lord, you surrendered the riches of heaven's palace for the poverty of Bethlehem's manger. As we offer you our gifts in thanksgiving for your gift, make us imitators of your generosity and love for the sake of the world you love so much and for your Father's glory. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us. Amen.
As we hear of Joseph's obedience to God and of the Holy Family on this Sunday between Christmas and the New Year, let us reflect and pray together. Everlasting God, as we approach the start of a new year, we may find ourselves apprehensive for what it might bring. Reassure us with your loving presence that whatever we might experience in the coming 12 months, we will not be more than we can bear, and that you will never be more than a prayer away from us. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, we raise before you our church here at Emmanuel with Highworth and the Old Town Partnership of Churches. We give you thanks for continuing ministry here, for Robert, our elders, and our visiting preachers. We lay before you our plans, our hopes, and the problems that we might face. Constantly remind us that in our church, results are never measured in terms of winners and losers, but in how much our activities glorify your name and bring your Son, Jesus Christ, closer to others. Lord, in your mercy. Creator God, help us to know and to understand what it means and what it takes to make disciples and so help transform the world. May this new year bring peace to those parts of the world where it has been absent for far too long. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the lowly in their hour of need, especially at this new year time, and where it fills them with doubts and fears. May they be aware of your presence holding them and encouraging them towards healing and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, as we remember before you those who will not journey into this coming new year, we thank you for the gift of hope beyond death that you have given us through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, in Christ, you make all things new, and so we thank you for this coming new year, for the potential it holds. Move us every single morning throughout 2026 to look forward to the future with hope and give you thanks for the wonders of your creation and the wonderful gifts you have given us. Thou must leave thy lowly dwelling, the humble crib, the stable bare. Loving father, loving mother, shelter thee with tender care. Amen.
So we sing together our closing hymn, number 159, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
As we leave this time of worship, give us courage, kindness, and open hearts to trust you. May we walk the paths you show us and recognize Christ in all whom we meet. And may the Lord bless us and keep us and bring us to everlasting life. Amen.